We're ending the book of Esther today. And I'm reading from Deuteronomy because God talks about the time of Esther hundreds of years before. Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 25, you find it here, says, after you have had children and grandchildren and have lived in the land a long time, if you then become corrupt and make any kind of idol, doing evil in the eyes of the Lord your God and provoking him to anger, I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you this day that you will quickly perish from the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. Now that doesn't sound too good, does it? You know any people that are in that position right now, just kind of perishing in the land, or all kind of good stuff going around? There's just a lot of perishing going around them. Amen? Amen. Maybe you've been there. I've been there. I understand what that whole perishing talks about. He says, you will not live there long, but will certainly be destroyed. The Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and only a few of you will survive among the nations to which the Lord will drive you. That is where Esther and Mordecai find themselves, scattered among the nations. He says, there you will worship man-made gods of wood and stone from there. But if from there you seek the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, when you are in distress and all these things have happened to you, then in later days you will return to the Lord your God and obey him. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. Can I get a witness on that part? Said, he will not abandon you or destroy you or forget the covenant he made with your forefathers, which he confirmed to them by oath. Lord Jesus, there are those among us, Lord, that have lost their way, that have lost their grip upon you, Lord, that they are scattered, Lord, among the people around them, Lord, that are lost, Lord. They have turned from you and they are finding their own way. They are going their own way, Lord, that there are those that are among us, Lord, that come, Lord, looking for a ray of light. I pray this morning, Lord, that you would open our hearts, Lord, that we could understand. Lord, I pray too, Lord, your protection, Lord, against the sickness that's, Lord, just moving through. Lord, for the families, Lord, that are moving and doing all kinds of stuff, Lord, that in the midst of all that drama, Lord, that we don't forget what is most important, Lord, that we would seek you. You would help us to find you, Lord. In Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Everyone said?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. God is good. I got a call on Friday afternoon from my wonderful son, Joe, on his way to football practice. Now, you don't want to be late to football practice. What happens when you're late to football practice? You die. No, you don't really die. What do? You have to run. Any of you guys play football, you know what that means? You know, you're late, you run. So he called me and he said, Dad, I think there's a problem with the transmission. Now, how many of you dads like to get that call? Oh, yeah, the transmission problem call. It's like, and you know what I said? Don't move. Don't drive. Don't go anywhere. I will be right there. And I drove immediately to where he was at. And sometimes our lives are like that. Amen? I mean, it's like we got to put a call out to God. We got to say, God, here I am. I am broke down. I am scattered about. And I got no place left to turn but you. Amen. And that is what is going on with Esther and Mordecai. I know we got some folks here who were not here last week. We've been talking about Esther and Mordecai. We've been talking, been in this series, Grabbing Onto Greatness. This will be the fourth week. So there is some stuff that we laid a foundation on that you guys aren't quite aware of. But realistically, we've got Mordecai and we've got Esther out there along with all the Jews, and they're just trying to get by. You ever been there just trying to get by, just trying to make it through? Amen. Esther, man, she is getting through on her looks. And Mordecai is getting through on his wits. And you will find, and maybe you have found, maybe you have got by on your wits. Maybe I have got by on my looks, amazingly to know. But I'll let you know, it runs out. You can only get so far. And that is what is going on with Esther, and that is what is going on with Mordecai. And that is what is going on with the whole Jewish nation. That hundreds of years, almost 1,000 years before, this promise was that I read was made to the Jewish people. It says, you get to the land you're going, and you start straying, God's not going to be happy with you. Amen. And even more, he says, you're going to provoke him to anger. And so the Jews did that. And indeed, they were scattered. And we talked about how they were invited back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. And out of 15 million Jews, 50,000 went. And so we got 15 million still trying to shake and bake and make their own way. And they are discovering that you can only go so far. Right. Mordecai, we saw, figured it out last week. That as he was moving and as he was shaking, an elder at the city, at the king's gate, that this guy Haman, vile guy, everybody's supposed to bow down to Haman. Mordecai says, I'm not bowing down to this guy. God says, don't bow down to anybody but him. I'm done. Esther. And because of that, I'm doing a little review for you folks. The whole nation, every Jew, all 15 million Jews across the whole nation of Persia, 127 provinces, are due to be killed on a single day. And so Esther's going to go before the king. And you go before the king uninvited, there's one penalty, and that's death. And so Esther says, have all the Jews that you know, Mordecai, all the Jews in the city where the king was in Susa, pray and fast for 3 days. And she says, I'm going to fast. And all my maids are going to fast. And we're going to put our focus on God. We're going to start seeking God with our whole heart. We're going to try and grab on to greatness. We find out today that grip contains a risk. Amen? All right, here we go. Esther chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. On the third day, the third day of the fast, Esther put on her royal robe. She was looking good. Saw Queen Esther standing in the court, and he held out to her the gold scepter that was in his hand. And that meant, I'm not going to kill you. You can come on in. Amen. So Esther approached and touched the tip of the scepter, and when the king asked, what is it, Queen Esther? What is your request? Even up to half the kingdom, it will be given to you. That's an open door, amen? He says, if it pleases the king, replied Esther, let the king, together with Haman, the bad guy, come today to a banquet. And if you check the Hebrew on that, it's actually a banquet of wine. Wow. Let the king, together with Haman, come together to a banquet of wine I have prepared for him. Bring Haman at once, the king says. So, hey, let's go, man. The queen's got the wine. Let's roll. And you see, you know, the king, man, Xerxes is not the most imbalanced guy you're ever going to run across. We're not going to talk about Xerxes today, though. We're going to focus on Haman. But Xerxes is there. Bring Haman at once, the king said, so that we may do what Esther asked. So the king and Haman went to the banquet Esther had prepared. Let's have dinner. Let's have dinner. It is an opportunity. You know what? All this praying, all this fasting, all this stuff that's going on, this doesn't look so hard. Amen. She walks right up to the king and says, yo, Esther, come on in. What's up, girl? What is so hard about that? But remember, she is taking her life in her hands. Had Xerxes been having a bad day, yo, girl, come on in. This is the last time I'm going to see you. Give me a kiss on the way out. But it was more than just Xerxes having a good day. Because the Bible says that when you seek me with your whole heart, with all your soul, that's when you're going to find me. See, things are going easy because God is on our side. And I want to let you know, and maybe some of you have already discovered this, that things go better with God. Amen? It says, you put your whole heart, your whole focus, your whole soul on me, you're going to find me. You turn to me, I'll turn to you. She gets an open door. What do you want, Esther? Just want you guys come to a banquet I have set up. Been fasting 3 days. God has lined it up. She gets the open door. They get to the banquet. This is not what's in here. This comes after what I just read to you. They get to the banquet, and they're drinking their wine, and they're having their food and all that kind of stuff. And the king says, Esther, what's up? What do you need? Up to half my kingdom. What do you want? And she says, I'm going to prepare another banquet tomorrow. Can you guys come back? And you read that, and you're thinking, what a cop-out. I mean, you probably could have, she's going to, I don't want to, what do they call it when you tell the end of the story?
Spoiler.
I want to be a spoiler, but I'll tell you what, she's throwing Hammond under the bus. I mean, she probably could have done it when she just walked up and touched the scepter, looking good. It's Hammond, man, get this guy, or Hammond, get this guy. So, you're thinking, go for it. And she says, can you and Haman come back tomorrow? And you think she's just afraid, or you think she's just copping out, or she's just afraid to step up. But when you put your focus on the Lord, Amen. And he puts his focus on you, sometimes he will put a check in your spirit. You're thinking, what does it matter what a day makes? Well, I'm telling you, we are going to spend our time today looking at the next 24 hours. And Esther might not have anything planned, but God has something planned. Amen? And he's saying, yo, Esther, hold up. Have another banquet. Your maid's going to put it together anyway. It don't really matter to you. He says, I'm going to get something done. Because things go better with God. Amen? All right, here we go. Haman is ready to make his move. All right, so they have gone to the first banquet. Esther has invited them back to the second banquet, and Haman is coming out, probably filled with a little bit of wine, and he's feeling good, and he is ready to make his move. He's boasted to them about his vast wealth, his many sons, and all the ways the king had honored him, and how he has elevated him above all the other nobles and officials. And that's not all, Haman added. I'm the only person that Queen Esther invited to accompany the king to the banquet. And what he's doing is he's bragging to his wife and all of his buddies. Haman is all full of Haman.
Oh, yeah.
You know people like that? He says, and she invited me along with the king tomorrow. But all this gives me no satisfaction. See, he comes out, he's feeling good, he's got a buzz on, and there's Mordecai. He's going, I get no respect from this Jew. I am tired of this. Says, all this gives me no satisfaction as long as I see that Jew Mordecai sitting at the king's gate. And his wife, Zeresh, and all of his friends said to him, and this is why you got to pick good friends. He says, they say, have a gallows built. And it says, have a big old tree put up. And it says 75 feet, 50 cubits high. That's 75 feet. And then have Haman, or Mordecai, hang on it. Then go with the king to the dinner and be happy. He says, ask the king in the morning to have Mordecai hanged on it. Then go have the banquet and be happy. And this suggesting delighted Haman.
Wow.
So he has the gallows built. I mean, that's in the morning, right? That's after the party. He's the buzz, you know, he's getting all this stuff done. Feeling good. Runs into Mordecai, just a buzz kill. Ugh. What's up with this guy? Starts ragging to his friends, ragging to his wife. And realistically, Haman is a train wreck. And he doesn't even know it. We've got leaders in our... This guy is the prime minister of Persia. Access to the king anytime. Got the king's ring. He can write stuff, put the ring on it, and it is as if the king had said it. We got people in our leadership, in our country, that are train wrecks. Amen?
Oh,
you probably know some people around you. They're train wrecks.
Yeah.
You know, and they're not even aware. Maybe you have been to that point in your life, and you finally discovered, man, I am a train wreck. But you aren't a train wreck anymore.
Amen.
Because you have discovered that things go better with God. Amen?
Amen?
So, Haman is moving on. He's going, this is it. I'm done. I got the Jews being killed on this day, but it's a couple of months out. I am going to set it up, and Mordecai's going to be dead. Just have the guy killed, his friends and his wife said. His wife's no better than him. His friends are no better than him. Get the king on your side, okay it. Haman says, yes, this is what I'm going to do. A train wreck waiting to happen. I did some thinking, and I wanted to display to you a train wreck that has happened to a guy that had no clue that he was a train wreck. This guy. Now, how many of you know who this is? This guy's name is Anthony Weiner. And he was a New York State congressman. And he was on TV and he was doing all kinds of stuff. I mean, if you're a congressman, I guess you're a shaker and baker, right? But Haman was a lot higher than him. So anyway, he is doing his thing, and all these allegations of sexual impropriety begin to surface in his life. Internet stuff where he is sending naked pictures of himself to women all over the country. And he's like trying to play it off. He's a train wreck, man, and you don't even know it. And so his wife is standing by him. And all this stuff, and he is forced to resign from Congress. Now, that's pretty bad off, amen? Amen? So then he decides, in his great wisdom, that he's going to run for the mayor of New York City. And, you know, you're thinking, okay, how crazy is New York? I mean, New York is pretty crazy. And I'm thinking, he's going, yeah, New York's crazy. So he begins to to start the campaign. And all these people are looking into all of his previous improprieties. And the thing is, he hasn't stopped any of them. It's like, oh, I had to resign from Congress. I'm going to keep on doing all the stuff that made me resign from Congress. But now they'll vote me in because, and they'll know I'm doing it. Although he never really copped to it. Wow. Okay. So, New York mayor results. You think, did he win? No. De Blasio, 40.3%. This is the Democratic side, by the way. So he's going to be in a runoff with whoever the Republicans get, I think. So he, you think, maybe he got second. No. William C. Thompson Jr. got second with 26. So we got 66% of the votes out there. Did he get third? No. Quinn, 15.5. John C. Liu, 7%. And lastly, Anthony Weiner, 31,000 votes, 4.9% of the vote. A train wreck that has happened. I got to think he knows about it now. Amen? Maybe not. Some of these guys just live it. You know people like that, man? Catastrophe after catastrophe after catastrophe. And they still don't realize things go better with God. Yes. Amen? All right, here we go. Things start to unravel for Haman. That's why I brought this Weiner guy up. Okay. That night, the king could not sleep. He'd been boozing all day, you know? Went to sleep early, woke up late. So he ordered the book of the Chronicles, the record of his reign, to be brought in and read to him. And it was found recorded there that Mordecai had exposed this plot with Bigthanah and Teresh, two of the king's officers who guarded the doorway and conspired to assassinate King Xerxes. Big deal. Mordecai becomes aware of it, lets Esther know. Esther lets the king know. They bust the guys. They kill the guys. And he's reading about it and said, what do we do for Mordecai? And he's saying, nothing. He said, who's in the court? Now, Haman had just entered the outer court. He's got the gallows built, 75 feet high. He's going to come in, and he's asking for permission for Mordecai to be killed. So you get what's going on in Haman's life, right? And the king is in there, can't sleep, you know, hey, and he's looking for a way to reward Mordecai. It's amazing how the Lord can line stuff up. Amen? Oh, amen. When you seek me with your whole heart, that's when you're going to find me. Amen? Things go better with God. Haman's just entered the court of the palace to speak to the king about hanging Mordecai on the gallows he had erected for him. A sleepless night for the king. King's not having a good night. Chronicles come out, and it's, you know, they start reading to him all of his, all the stuff that's going on. It's like counting sheep for rich people. You know, it's like, hey, let's start reading to you about your kingdom. Mordecai pops up. Nothing's been done for this guy. He helped you out. And one of the traditions of that time was anybody hooks you up, man, they get set up right then almost immediately. Did we do anything for him? No, we didn't do anything for him. Man, we got to do something for this guy. Because it was a poor reflection upon Xerxes. He's going, man, I need to figure out what I can do. I can't really think about it myself. Is there anybody around? Haman is here. He just showed up. He goes, send this guy in. God lining all these things up to have an impact. Amen? All right, here we go. All right. When Haman entered, the king asked him, what should be done for the man the king delights to honor? Oh, and Haman, you know what he's thinking. Haman thought to himself, who is there that the king would rather honor than me? Of course. It's all about me. He says, so he answered the king, for the man the king delights to honor, have him them bring a royal robe that the king has worn and a horse that the king has ridden, one with a royal crest placed on his head. Then let the robe and the horse be entrusted to one of the king's most noble princes. Let them robe the man the king delights to honor and lead him on the horse through the city streets. You getting the picture of this? Proclaiming before him, this is what is done for the man who the king delights to honor. This is it. This is the man who the king loves. This is the man, you know, so they're making this proclamation, and he says, go at once and get Mordecai. And I got to think Haman's going, what? What? He says, get the robe, get the horse, and you do just as you've suggested for Mordecai the Jew who sits at the king's gate. Do not neglect anything that you have recommended. Haman sets the plan, and the plan backfires just a little bit. Can I get a witness on that? Haman is filled with Haman. This is what should be done for me. And God spins it around and has it done for the man who is seeking him. Wow. Amen. Amen? You're going to find me when you seek me with your whole heart. Haman's got to walk in front of the horse. Maybe Haman had to clean up after the horse. I don't know. But I want to let you know, things go better. Amen. With God. We see God stepping in. Mordecai had put a focus on the Lord. I'm not going to bow down to anybody but my God. So the Lord puts a focus on Mordecai. Esther took her life in her hands, put a focus on God, and God put a focus on her. Amen? Amen. The whole Jewish nation is now putting a pause. See, we're not going to try and get by on our own anymore. See, death, the threat of death will change your priorities. Amen? Amen? And so their priorities had been changed, and now all of a sudden they are putting a focus on God. And God is putting a focus on them. Haman's wife and his friends see problems coming. Verse 13. His advisors and his wife Zeresh said to him, since Mordecai, before whom your downfall has started, they're just saying, boy, there is more coming. Before whom your downfall has started is of Jewish origin, you cannot stand against him. Surely you will come to ruin. And there is something that is going on with the Jews. They have turned to the Lord, and the Lord has turned to them. Things go better with God. Amen. You know, I went over to get Joe and Josh and Matt for their football practice, and I checked out the car, and this car seemed fine, but I want to take a risk. You know, I didn't get that other call Transmission is now laying on the ground, Dad. And so I said, you guys get in my car. I'll take this car and follow me to the house. And as we're driving, I'm on the phone lining up insurance and all this other stuff on this other car that I'm going to have him drive. And so we get home, and I say, okay, just park it right there, hop in that one. It was the previous broken one that I fixed. And they took off to practice, and they weren't late, and they didn't break down. And sometimes that's what it's like in our lives. When you get to that point where you're just scattered and there's nothing but challenge around you, and you've been trying to get by on your own, and you can't get by on your own anymore, not in your wit, not in your looks, not in your money, and you say, Lord, I'm done. And you put your focus on Him. And He'll put His focus on you. Amen. Many of you have done that. You have found that things go better with God. All right, let's finish this story up. Everything is exposed. So the king and Haman, this is the second banquet now. The king and Haman went to dine with Queen Esther. And as they were drinking wine, remember it's a banquet of wine, on that second day the king asked, Queen Esther, what is it you want? It will be given to you. What is your request? Even up to half the kingdom. And that is, you know, that's just a saying that they would, he didn't really mean to give her half the kingdom. Queen Esther answered, if I have found favor with you, O king, and if it pleases your majesty, grant me my life. And I got to think at that point, Xerxes' eyes opened up a little bit. Grant me my life. And this is my petition, and spare my people. This is my request, for I and my people have been sold for destruction and slaughter and annihilation. Three big words when they're pointed at you. If we had merely been sold as male and female slaves, I would have kept quiet, because no such distress would justify disturbing the king. And King Xerxes asked Queen Esther, who is he? Where is the man who has dared do such a thing? And Esther said, the adversary and the enemy is this vile Haman. And the trap of God snapped shut right on Haman. Then Haman was terrified. I gotta think. You think? Amen. Everything is exposed. God's plan has come full circle. What is it you want? There is a time when you have to step up. Amen? There is a time when you have to make it plain what you want God to do in your life. And at that point, it is a scary point in your life if you have not yet learned that God is faithful. Amen? It is a scary thing to speak what you desire, because there is a possibility the answer will be no. Have you got to that point when there's nothing left but you and God, and you're terrified because what you want, your greatest desires, you are afraid that God might say sorry the way everybody else has? Story about Jesus. Jesus comes to a blind man and he says, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus comes to you this morning and asks you, what do you want me to do for you? I'd like to have a nice lunch. We got a nice lunch for you. This man says, I want to see. Jesus says, I'll give you your sight. Leper comes up to Jesus and says, you can make me clean if you're willing. And everybody in his life to that point had said, get away from me. And Jesus said, I'm willing. But when you get to that point in your life and you need the biggest thing, there's only you and the deep core need, and you begin to turn to God, grabbing onto Him is a challenge. Because until you discover that things are better with God, you are afraid that He's going to tell you no. And that was what was going on in Esther's life.